Lord, what would you have me share? All this week, I'm just like, Lord, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Right? And really felt like the Lord throughout the week just really impressed upon me this concept of redemption. The concept of redemption. We're probably going to end up looking at some of the redemptive names of God in this series as well. I was talking to someone the other day and just ministering to them. And then I reminded them, I said, remember, healing is part of your covenant. You have a covenant with God. Now, this is someone that's been going to church here a while. And they said, I have one of those with God. I have a covenant with God. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, what have I been teaching? Right? I mean, I've been teaching and talking about covenant and all that kind of stuff. I was like, well, okay, well, praise the Lord. Well, we'll teach on redemption then, won't we? But anyway, but yes, we have a covenant with God. And now what is that? Now that word covenant's kind of lost a lot. It's been lost a lot, in the day that we live in, because people don't think of covenants. They think of contracts and agreements and deals and things like that. But we have a covenant is just that. It's a contract or an agreement with God. In other words, Jesus took our sin and Jesus became our sin. And this now most people will go, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. I've heard that for years. Yes, Jesus took my sin. Hallelujah. But this is the part they don't get, and this is the most powerful part of it. Jesus became my sin and your sin, the sin of the world. And we became his righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. Well, who do you think you are? I tell you who I don't. I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you who I think I am. I'm going to tell you who I know I am. I am a born-again, spirit-filled, blood-washed child of God walking in his word. That's who I am. That's not who I think I am. That's who I am. That's what the Bible says I am. Jesus, how many know it's not wrong to call yourself righteous if Jesus called you righteous? Yes, come on, amen. The Bible says that we're supposed to say the same thing about us that Jesus said. Yes, that's right. So if Jesus says I'm righteous, I don't care what you think. Amen. You can say, well, you self-righteous. Trust me, it is not because of me. There ain't nothing righteous about me because of anything that I've done. But I am righteous because of what he's done. And hey, listen, you can call me unrighteous if you want to. You can call me proud and arrogant if you want to. But I'm telling you, if Jesus says that I'm righteous, I'm going to go with what he said. I mean, no, he knows better than you do. Yes. Right? And listen, this is not just me. You are the righteousness of God. Why? What makes you righteous? And that's what we're going to talk about today. What makes you righteous? Oh, you're righteous. Well, what makes you righteous? Because I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed. So we're going to look at what redemption is today. Amen? Amen. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. Because if you don't realize that you're redeemed, you are not going to walk in everything that you're not going to walk in a large portion of what God has for you. If you think that all he did was just enough that what Brother Roger says often is give you fire insurance. And for those who may not know what we mean by that, Jesus didn't come just to save you from hell. Thank God. Hey, you know what? If that was all he did, that would be enough for me. But it's not either or. It is and. And. Jesus died on the cross for me so I would not have to go to hell. Praise God for that. And he took a whipping on his back so that I would not have to be sick. Now, a large portion of the world and of the church, generally speaking, the church worldwide has issues with that, but it's the word nonetheless. God didn't. In fact, there's a scripture that tells us that there was a group of people that they bring God down to a level that they can understand instead of us going up to where he operates. And I've said it this way so many times in the past, that God is looking. God is looking for us to live on a level that the world is not familiar with. We're not, listen, Now, I ain't talking about Christianese and going out and speaking all your Christianese. You know what I mean by that? You get around people that aren't saved, and you're like, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, all this kind of good, all this kind of, it's good stuff here. But when you get out there, they're like, what? What are you talking about? Glory to what? You know, holla what? Who you hollering at? You know? Right? The world may not understand all of our language that we usually speak in our Christian circles. Right? But we are supposed to live on it. But that does not mean, that's what I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. That, I'm so glad he keeps me on track. But anyway, if he does it, my wife does. So, hey, you know, whatever. Holy Spirit Jr., right? But that does not mean that we are supposed to look and act and talk just like them so they can understand everything we understand. Right? No, I'm still a believer. And I'm not afraid to let somebody know it. In fact, let's look at this verse here. The Bible actually tells us to do that. Did you know that? Watch this. This is awesome. This is awesome. Go to me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Glory to God. This verse right here is going to require some action from you. Oh, wait, you're not leaving, are you? Still out there? Anybody go home? All right, Psalm 107. Hey, I like having fun in church. Is that okay? So if you like having fun in church, this is the place for you. Glory to God. All right, so Psalm 107 and verse 2. And it says, I'm going to read it first out of the New King James. So don't put up NLT yet. New King James says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. That's good right there. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many are redeemed? Yes. Well, say it. Say, I'm redeemed. It says, it just told you what to do. Yeah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See, we need to be sharing with the world that, hey, glory to God, I'm redeemed. Yeah, they're struggling with stuff. I mean, did you know Jesus redeemed you from that? Yeah, he saved you from that. You don't have to deal with that anymore. That oppression, that depression. Now, listen. I got in trouble in the past for talking about this and not making some clarifications. I'm not saying that people are not legitimately dealing with depression. I understand that they are. Right? I get that. I mean, the enemy's tried to attack me with that from time to time in certain situations. But I had to rise above it and say, no, what? I ain't got nothing to be pressed about. Right? I understand that there are things going on in the world, things going on in families, things going on in this and that. But what I do need to let you know is Jesus has redeemed you from it. You have been redeemed from it. So the question is, well, then why am I not experiencing it? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to get into that. Remember, this is a series. This is not a one-shot deal, right? So we're going to talk about over the course of the series. But let's look at this, though. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why? Why do we need to say? What have we got to say about? Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, that's shouting material if I ever saw it. Whom has redeemed us from out of the hand of the enemy. So we're not saying that people are not wrapped up in stuff. They are. Wrapped up in depression, wrapped up in bondages, wrapped up in addictions, wrapped up in sin, wrapped up in selfishness, wrapped up in bitterness, unforgiveness, all this stuff. But here's the beautiful thing. The Lord has redeemed you out of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, okay. So let's look at this in the New Living Translation. I love this. It says, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Has the Lord redeemed you? Here's the problem. Most people don't even realize they're redeemed in the church. Most people in the church. So if you're sitting here today, oh, he's talking about redemption. He's talking about Easter. He's talking about getting people saved. That's not really for me. I'll just kind of come and bide my time till he gets onto something that affects me. I'm telling you, this affects you. I am not talking about just getting people saved, though that is a big passion of mine. And you hear us talk about that all the time around here, right? We got outreaches coming up. We got door hanger outreach coming up for Easter that I'm believing that everybody in here is going to get involved with. Don't make the pastor call your phone number. Where are you? Come on, we should all be about helping people come to know Christ, right? But he says here, he says, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. So see, that wasn't just coming from me, was it? No, the Bible tells us, let people, how are they to know that they can enjoy your redemption if you don't tell them about your redemption? There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I mean, you can hear people sitting in the doctor's offices talking about what they've dealt with. Oh, honey, I know, girl. I mean, I remember when I used to deal with that same thing. But let me tell you something. This happened and that happened, and I don't have to struggle with that anymore. Why can't we do that as believers? People that overcome things and they hear that other people were struggling with it, they begin to tell them, well, this is how I overcame it. Yeah. In the world. Two guys getting together talking, you know, a couple of motorheads. Talking about, man, my car can do this, my car can. Man, I tell you what, I don't even understand. Man, I got this little knock in my engine. I can't pinpoint it. I can't figure it out. Another dude, I remember when I had that little knock in my engine. This is what I did. Blah, da, 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 and maybe had to change out his engine, but whatever. You know, but what do? They begin to share the good news about how they overcame that challenge. Yeah. That's what we should be doing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Why? Because we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And we should be telling others how we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen? Yeah. All right, go to Colossians chapter 1. Isn't that good? Yeah. So I could say amen right there and you'd be blessed and you could go and be happy. Yeah. But I'm not done. So sit tight. I just think I heard somebody say, we know you're not done. You're never done in 10 minutes. Hallelujah. Let's look at this beautiful verse here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Talking about redemption and what redemption is. Watch this. It says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14 says, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Glory to God. Let's read that one more time. For he has rescued us. Rescued. Hallelujah. One translation says, delivered. Look at this word delivered. This word, the word delivered, when it goes down, it says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred or delivered us. For he has delivered us, some translations use. So let's use that word. That word rescued or delivered means this. To rescue. Ooh, that was profound, wasn't it? The word rescue means to rescue. That's awesome. Look at the rest of it, though. It means to snatch from danger, right? To deliver, removing someone from danger or oppression, removing someone from danger or oppression, snatch just in the nick of time. So what that tells me, that's what the Greek word for rescued and delivered means that the Bible uses because it was translated from Greek. Right, so I like to look back at what the Greek says because that tells me what it meant when it was said. You know how words tend to change meaning over time. I think as people hear about that in church, week after week, month, year after year, whatever, you know, we become almost callous to what some of the meaning of these words mean, and then we find ourselves in a dilemma because we're not really paying attention to the fact that that is the devil trying to mess with your redemption. But we need to put the devil on the run. Yes, come on. The Bible says to resist the devil and he will flee. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I said, devil, I resist you. Stop. Leave me alone. That it? Did you know people don't get arrested for telling a police officer to leave them alone? They don't get arrested for resisting arrest. For just telling the officer, no, don't arrest me. No, what they get arrested for is for resisting. And resisting arrest is more aggressive. It's more action-filled, right? It's resisting. It's like they're trying to arrest you, and you're fighting them, and you're trying to get out, and you're trying to run. Well, see, we need to take that same energy and resist the devil. When that devil comes in and says, "Yep, you're gonna have this sickness, or you're gonna have that, or they see how bad your back hurts right now," you need to say, "You lying devil, no, you're not doing that." Except you don't. I'm not usually that nice. I'm like, "You lying in the name of Jesus, I get out of my house." I say, "Get out of my house," and I just begin to quote the word, quote the word, quote the word, quote the word. That's how I resist the enemy, with the word, with the word, with the word. Remember when Jesus was in the desert and he was being tempted of the enemy? And Satan came in and says, why don't you cast yourself, sit down, you know, whatever. You know, here, let me give you some food. And Jesus said, "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then he comes up with another temptation. "Why don't you cast yourself down?" Now, the devil's like, "Oh, Jesus is going to use the word. Well, I'm going to use the word." So he said, "Why don't you cast yourself down? Because the Bible says," or the Bible, there wasn't no Bible. the scriptures say that the angels will pick you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, "And the scriptures also say, man shall not tempt the Lord thy God." I mean, no, Jesus knew the word, since he was the word, better than the devil quoting the word. And we need to be better than, we need to be better at knowing the scriptures than the devil does. Right? And when he comes up telling you this is going to happen, no, nope, in the name of Jesus, the word says this. Father, I declare your word says this about me, and I believe it. That settles it. It's done. But you need to do it. Stop this. Well, devil, leave me alone. Why are you bugging me? I'll drop all that mess. Put the devil on the run. Let him know who's boss. And mean it. But here's the thing. How do you get to saying things like that when you really mean it? Because you spent time reading it, getting it on the inside. You cannot just take a scripture that you've memorized and whoop the devil with it. Remember the seven sons of Sceva, that story in the book of Acts? Those guys come in there, they're going to cast this demon out. And they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Come out. Those demons looked back to him, said, "Jesus we know." And when he says Jesus we know, it means we're really familiar with that guy. We don't want nothing to do with him. And Paul we know. We're becoming even more familiar with him because he's a tough character as well, almost a lot like Jesus. But who are you? Man, they weren't even on the who's list in hell. Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And the man jumped on them, beat them up, stripped them naked, and ran them out the house. Because all they were doing was going from head knowledge. They seen Paul use that name. They had heard about the things Jesus had done, saw Paul using that name to get things done. They thought, well, we will do that too. But they didn't have no revelation. See, and a lot of people are giving faith a bad name because they say, well, I tried that faith stuff and it don't work. Well, that's your problem. You tried it and you didn't do it. You only signed up for a trial period. No, jump in and say, no, bless God, I believe God's word above everything else. That's all that matters. I don't care. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the mechanic said. I don't care what the whoever said. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. The Bible says, whose report will you believe? I choose to believe. I'm not saying me. I'm saying this is what the Bible says. Whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. So God's word matters above everything else. But Hear me. You've got to get that word on the inside. How do you do that? Reading, right? The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, meditating day and night upon the scriptures. What does that mean? Does that mean you keep a Bible right here? No, it means you read something and you spend the day just thinking about it, chewing on it. And the cow is like chewing the cud. They ate it was so good, they puked it back up and chewed on it some more. I figured that would get your attention. But we've got to take this word and we meditate on it and we meditate and think. Talk to the Lord about it. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So you take that word and, Lord, make this more clear to me. And just ponder it. Think on it. You know, meditation, one way I like to say it is, like in America we call it talking to ourselves. Now we're not talking all that mess. But we're talking about taking a word and thinking on it, pondering it. Like I am with instructions when I'm trying to put something together. I'm looking at it and it's like, what? So then I start talking it through. Ask my wife. She's my sounding board. See, she don't usually have to give me any information. All I got to do is start talking to her and then I kind of talk the answer out. Then all of a sudden it's like, never mind. Okay, thanks for your time, you know. But it's about meditating on the Word of God, getting it on the inside. It breaks my heart when I see somebody, they're out there quoting Scripture, but they don't really believe it. They're really quoting it in a world hope that it will come to pass. Man, I hope this works. That's not faith. Faith is a knowing. And the only way you can really get things to where they're true faith is when you truly believe, no, this is God's word. It's going to work. I'm going to do it until it does. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, how did I get off on that? Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Okay. But he says here, to rescue, to snatch from danger, to deliver. This is what being delivered means. Removing someone from danger or oppression. That's what God does. How did he do that? He did it through the precious blood of Jesus. See, that's what makes this gospel so powerful, more powerful than any other religious stuff out there. What makes the difference is our Savior is alive. What makes the difference is his blood was shed for our salvation. His blood was shed for our redemption. We are redeemed. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep going here. He says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. I think one translation says from the power of darkness. That word power actually means we've been redeemed from the authority, the control, the dominion, and the influence of darkness. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. Maybe three or four if I need to. Here we go. So we have been redeemed from the authority, from the control, from the dominion, and the influence of darkness. Right? And when we say darkness, we're talking about the works of the enemy. Most of us in here know that, but just making sure everybody's on the same page. So we have been redeemed. We've been rescued. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. We have this redemption that says that we're no longer under the control of the enemy. We're no longer up under his dominion. We no longer have to be influenced by him. People that are struggling with the same sin week after week, day after day, month after month, and it's like, come on, you got to get a revelation of your redemption. You don't have to be in that addiction. You don't have to be under that bondage. You've been set free by the blood of Jesus. Either the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to save you or you're done. And I'm here to tell you that his blood is well able. His blood is plenty of powerful enough. There is nothing in this earth that can hold you compared to the blood of Jesus. There's nothing you're going through, no struggle, no suffering, no pain, no dilemma, no challenge that the blood of Jesus cannot fix. Amen. Come on, we got to get excited about this stuff. It's time to wake up out of the slumber. Come on, the Church of Jesus Christ has been asleep for far too long. We were never meant to be asleep in the first place. But we got to let all this religious rhetoric, got to shake off the cobwebs and say, wait a minute. No, this is a living gospel. Yes. Hallelujah. On, glory to God. Yes. You need to get in front of the mirror and tell your face that you're redeemed. Right? Why are there so many sad and mad Christians? Because they believe that God is a sad and mad God.
Yeah. Come on,
all the pictures of Jesus is... You know, they think God's mad, Jesus is sad, so they're sad and mad. But when you begin to realize, no, Jesus is a happy Jesus. Yeah, he went through some stuff, and I'm sure he wasn't smiling all the way through on his way to Calvary because he had a job to do. Most of us aren't smiling when we're working. Right? Hallelujah. Finally got me an amen corner back there. Need some more of those little bitty amen corners. Come on, we've been redeemed. We need to take this stuff serious. Wake up, man. Glory to God. The devil is a liar. I mean, I'm living on the victory side. I mean, Jesus is my king. He's my victor. He gives me the victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. That means I'm never defeated. Ah, come on. Like jumping and running on the chairs, yank you all up. Come on. All right, let's keep going. So it says that we've been delivered, we've been redeemed, and we've been delivered from this power of darkness, right? This influence, this dominion of the darkness. Well, what is the darkness? It means the darkness of the enemy and all of his influence. We have been redeemed from all of his influence. No more sad days. You have nothing to be sad about. Yeah, but you don't understand, this happened. That's okay, but that don't have to define your day. And it certainly don't need to define your life. You got some people, all they talk about is what they've been through. I'm talking about believers. Don't sound like they're believing very much, though. Right? We're talking about, no. We serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. We serve the great conqueror, the conquistador. There's my word again. And here's the thing. He is not the only conquistador. He has made you more than a conqueror in Christ. More than a conqueror. There is nothing that you can't overcome. There is nothing that he has not already made provision for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. In other words, the enemy has no control over you any longer. He has no control over you. PK, then how come I'm still going through this? I just don't understand. Let me tell you a story. There was this guy, and he was at home, and the police come, and they called him and said, hey, and he was a popular farmer in the area and rancher, whatever those people are. Anyway, so they called him and said, hey, Mr. So-and-so, hate to tell you this, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we found one of your goats, got out of your pen. It's out here in the road, beside the road, it's been killed. He's like, great. So he gets in his truck, drives down to where they said the goat was, and they're all standing there. And he walks up and he looks at the goat. He starts examining the goat. And then he finds out the goat's not dead at all. He's just laying there. And then he looks, and what had actually happened is someone had stole one of his goats, tied up its feet, and then they dumped it on the side of the road. I don't know if they thought they were going to get caught because all of his goats are branded or whatever. But anyway, that's how they knew it was his goat because of the brand. Anyway, and so, but for whatever reason, they stole this goat, tied up its feet, dumped it on the side of the road. So that's why the goat was just laying there doing nothing. It looked dead. but the farmer, rancher, whatever he is, the goat owner. It's like, he's not dead at all. So he reached down and he unties the goat's feet. He's okay, goat, get up. Goat didn't move. He's like, what the heck? And see, he thought, maybe there's some injuries from it being dumped that's causing it to not move. So he begins to examine the goat. And as he's examining the goat, he realized there is no injuries. There's no blood. All the bones feel like they're in place. There seems to be no injuries. Nothing that he can tell. But then he looks, and even though he had untied the goat's feet, the goat is still laying there with its feet all together. And that makes me think of a lot of believers. You've been untied. You just don't realize you've been untied. So the goat owner, he reaches down and he separates the feet. He separates the feet and slaps the goat. He separates his feet and he slaps the goat. The goat realizes, I'm free. So then the goat jumps up and he's just dancing around, just like running all over the place, enjoying his newfound freedom. And see, that's why we still face some of the struggles we face, because we don't realize we've been set free. You've been untied. Does the Lord need to slap you? Well, he sent me to slap you today. Come on, right? You've been set free. The ropes have been removed. I'm separating your feet. Slap. Now get up and get going. Start enjoying your redemption. Begin living in the reality of your redemption. You have been set free. That sickness is not yours. Quit calling it mine. My depression, my oppression, my cancer, my flu, my allergies. That's a big one. My. And that's what I'm saying. My. Come on. No. They're not yours. Quit claiming. Listen, you belong to Jesus. And that if you've given your life to Christ, if you are a born-again child of God, if you've never given your life to Christ, you know what I would do? I'd get saved. I'd give my life to Christ. Right? And today is the day that you can do that. I'm going to give you that opportunity here in just a little bit. But here I'm trying to tell you, you have been redeemed. You have been set free. The ropes have been removed, right? I know that it looks like you've been trapped in that for years. And maybe because you've been in it for so long, even though you gave your life to Christ, you didn't realize the ropes have been removed. You didn't realize that Jesus has truly set you free from those things. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm slapping you with the word of God. I'm telling you that you've been delivered. You've been set free. The ropes are gone. The legs are free. Get up and begin to dance. Begin to run. Begin to shout. Give God the glory. Say, God, hallelujah. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. I'm set free. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. So how do I truly get free? Because here's the deal. Anything that you're facing. Now listen. Hear me out. I can already hear it. I can hear the nasty grams in your minds already. Well, you're just saying that my sickness is not real. No, I'm not saying it's not real. To you. To God, it's not real. To you, it is. Why? Well, that goat's bondage was real, even though he had been untied. His owner had found him. His owner had untied him and had, by all pretense purposes, set him free. But he kept laying there because he had been bound long enough to make him think that even though the ropes were gone, that he was still bound. Reminds me of the story of the elephants. You know what they do with little elephants? They, back in the jungle, they would put a chain around this little bitty elephant's leg, and they'd tie it to a stake and that they had driven in the ground. Now, when that little elephant was small, he might have tried a few times, but he's too weak. He's not strong enough to break free. Right, but then now you got this elephant. It's growing, and now it's this mammoth beast. I love elephants. I really like elephants. I love Jesus, and I love my wife and my son. Okay, and I love my church, but I really like elephants. Everybody loves everything these days. Okay, anyway, that's a different message. Sorry. Different series. Okay. Anyway, but he got this elephant. Now he's grown, but he's still got this big old, and all the time, he's got this big old shackle on that they kind of made bigger for his foot. Anyway, he's got this big old shackle on his ankle with a chain to this little stake that's in the ground. Now, but he's been conditioned all these years to think, I can't go more than the length of that chain. I remember when you ever talk to believers like that. Oh, man. If you just knew how many years I've been suffering with this. Okay. Anyways. Got this ankle shackled. It's a massive elephant that can push over a tree. And he's shackled to a chain to a stake in the ground. All that, what that elephant don't know is all he has to do is that foot is, and that stake's going to come right out of the ground. But he's been conditioned in his thinking to think, I'm bound. I can't go any further. I tried. I remember way back when I was just a little wee little elephant. And I tried breaking free, and I just couldn't. But now I know that I'm bound. How many know that is an illusion? It's an illusion. He's actually able to break free, but don't even realize it. He is way more powerful than that chain or that stake in the ground. He can get free, but he's been conditioned in his mind to think that I can't be free. And that's where a lot of believers are. They're conditioned in their mind to think, oh, I can't get over this. The doctor said I'll have this for the rest of my life. This is happening. You just don't understand how long I've been suffering with this. I just really don't think I can really get free. But I'm here to tell you today, you are free. You are free. But it's just an illusion of the mind. Now, I'm not saying just a figment of your imagination. I understand that people struggle with things. I understand that people suffer with things. We've all got things that we're constantly believing God. Father, I know, I declare that I'm free. I've got things that I've been believing for. Some things have come to pass for me. But there's still things in my body that I'm like, no, you lying devil from hell. I ain't buying into it. And I will see my victory complete. I will see my victory complete. Amen. Hallelujah. It will completely get out of my life. But there have been many things that I have believed God for, and I am free from. That's why I know the rest of them are going to go, because the rest of the other ones have. Hallelujah. And it ain't going to do it just because other things have. It's going to do it because God's word said it would. All right, let me read you three scriptures, and then we'll close. All right. So how do we get free from the devil's illusion? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Instead, let the spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Another translation says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What is the spirit of your mind? Because a lot of people get their minds renewed, but they don't really get renewed in the spirit of their mind. What's the difference? Well, the difference is we can memorize scripture. Give me a moment. Okay. We can memorize scripture and glory to God. Okay, the Bible says I can be free. But the spirit of your mind is what you do when you're not thinking about it. See, it's one thing to come into church and be able to say all the scriptures or say all the right things to the preacher. You get around other believers and you say all the right, glory to God. Well, sister, what can I do for you? Nothing, man. I'm healed. Hallelujah. Then what you're doing in the prayer line, right? Right. So we can get conditioned to say all the right things, but where the spirit of the mind is not just memorizing scripture. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind is when you don't have to be around somebody else to respond right. Right? Being renewed in the spirit of your mind is when the devil starts popping his ugly head up, you immediately hit him with the word. You don't immediately go to complaining. You don't immediately go to, I don't know why this won't leave me. You don't immediately first respond with, it's like a conditional response. What is a conditional response? Well, a conditional response is what we function in when we're driving down the road and you're used to driving fast and you see a police officer. A conditional response does what? Immediately put your foot on the brake. Yeah, I can see somebody knows what I'm talking about. Right? When you here comes that police officer, oop, and you look down, you're already driving the speed limit. You can be driving under the speed limit because you're used to not driving under the speed limit. You'll see a police officer and you'll still put your foot on the brake. Because you're not sure if you're under the speed limit. That's a conditional response. And so what happens is the enemy begins to attack them, and they have this conditional response to, oh man, I'm not fit. But if brother or sister so knocks on the door, hey sister, how you doing? Oh man, I'm blessed to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what to say when you're around people, but what do you say when you're not around people? That's the spirit of the mind. But see, we want to get the spirit of our mind renewed. Not just our mind, but the spirit of our mind to where it doesn't matter who's around. That devil pops his ugliness up, I'm putting him down. In other words, you want to condition the spirit of your mind with the word of God. So that when that, no matter when or where you're squeezed or pressured, the word comes out. The word comes out in faith because you've read it and you've meditated on it. You've got it down here and not just up here. Amen? All right. Next verse real quick. Colossians chapter 3. I'll try not to preach on the next two. I'll try not to. Okay, here we go. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. New Living says, put on the new nature. See, when you were born again, you were given a new nature, right? Put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and to become like him. See, this is how you get free. This is how you get past the illusions of the enemy. The only weapon the enemy ever really has. Cancer is not a weapon of the enemy. Sickness and disease is not a weapon of the enemy. They're results of his weapon. Yeah? Okay, watch this. What is the weapon of the enemy? Deception. He's just got to get you to believe that you have cancer. He's got now, and he tries to produce some symptoms, but you don't have to take it. Watch this. The Bible tells us in Matthew, take no thought saying. Somebody presents some symptoms that looks like cancer. Oh my gosh, I got cancer. Or if you go to the doctor and he says you got cancer, well, I guess I got cancer. How come that just because the doctor said it, why does that make it so? Now hear me out. Because God says something different. Whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about denying things. We're not talking about, nope, I don't got cancer. That Bible didn't tell you to say, no, I don't have cancer. The Bible says to say that I'm healed. It didn't say to say, no, I don't have cancer. He says to say I'm redeemed. When you get a report, the doctor's only doing their job. They're only doing their job. They're reporting what they're supposed to report, what they saw on an x-ray or whatever, or from a test. Fine, let them do their job. But that don't mean that you have to take it in you. Remember what Jesus said while the enemy couldn't touch Jesus? There is nothing. The enemy has nothing in me. The enemy has nothing in me. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of accepting a negative report. Because there's the report, but I got a report that's going to tell me something different. My report is right here. See, when the enemy gives you a negative report, you kind of say, sorry, too late, I've already got my report card. My report card says I'm healed. I've already got my diagnosis. I know that physician said it, but my physician says I'm healed. Jesus, that's one of your redemptive rights, is that Jesus is your healer. We'll get into that as the weeks go on, but I need to close because I'm past time. Let me give you one more verse. Short one. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, I'll read it out of the New Living Translation. So prepare your minds for action. Ooh, that's good. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. right? Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Well, Jesus Christ has been revealed to the world. So we have redemption. We have a great redemption, right? Let me read that one more time. I love that. So prepare your minds for action. How do you prepare your minds? Renewing them with the word. Right? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove to the world what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Right? Do not be conformed to the patterns, the thinking patterns of this world. Just because the doctor said it doesn't make it final. That may be what the symptoms he's seeing is saying. But how many know this? Facts change. But truth never changes. And the truth is you're healed. The truth is you're the righteousness of God. The truth is you're redeemed. The truth is you're the redeemed of the Lord. So what do you need to be doing? Saying so. I'm redeemed. When that symptom, that challenge, that struggle, that thing comes up, nope, I'm redeemed in the name of Jesus. Devil, get on out of here. I ain't buying it. It's not mine. I'm not taking it. I'm not signing for the package. I'm redeemed. I've already been purchased. I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. He took the stripes on his back for that. I don't have to have it, and I ain't going to have it. That's good Southern English right there. I ain't going to have it. Ain't happening. Amen. Stand up on your feet. Glory to God. In closing, I remind you of Psalm 107, verse 2. Again, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for you have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You are redeemed. You are redeemed. So here is your homework. Number two, two things. Number one, ask yourself right now, what's the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's speaking to people right now. He's speaking to you. Maybe there's something that you've claimed a sickness, calling it yours. And I know that you just got to renew your mind to change the way you think, because this natural language, my arthritis is, don't quit calling it your arthritis. Because as long as it's yours, you have it. If it's yours, it's in your possession. Quit calling it yours, because God didn't, it's not God's. And it didn't come from God. It is the devil's. And it did come from the devil. So send it back to him. Put on the... Nope. That person is no longer at this address. Send that thing back. Say, no. Arthritis? Nope. You got to go back to the devil. That's where you came from. Return to sender. Come on, bust out some Elvis music or something. Return to sender. Return to sender. Don't take it. It's not yours. Now, this is not just, we're not talking about just a play on words. We're talking about by your words you are justified, and by your words you're condemned. Come on, words matter. Quit claiming stuff that God didn't give you. Because arthritis didn't come from God. Sickness don't come from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither variableness, neither a shadow of turning. What does that mean? Malachi 3:6 says it this way. I am the Lord God, I change not. Sickness was not created by God. It did not come from God. There was no sickness in the garden before they sinned. And there won't be any sickness in heaven when we get out of here. And guess what? There don't have to be any sickness in the middle. You don't have to take it. It's not yours to bear. Amen. And when I know we're talking, I use sickness a lot, but I'm talking about depression. I'm talking about, it doesn't matter what your struggle is. If the word doesn't say that God gave it to you, then, and if it's calamity, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you would have life, life to the fullest, in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Amen.